Welcome, everybody, to episode 328 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, August 22nd, 2018. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Mr. John James Jacoby. And John, this week, we should sound pretty good because we're each recording our audio like professional podcasters are supposed to do. Again, listeners out there, I apologize for last week's audio issues. I mean, everything was great on the live Hangout, and then when the when Google Hangouts encoded the video, It screwed me over.
Yeah, it sucks.
And there's nothing. Yeah. There's nothing you can do. You can't submit a Hangout video to get re-encoded on YouTube. So today we're recording our audio locally. So if that happens again, at least you won't have to cringe every time you hear. And it sucks because last week we had some good conversations about some things.
Yep.
And, I do want to go over some housekeeping items from last week's show. And Steve left a comment on the show notes page, and he says that he was interested to hear a good rational discussion of audience perception of Gutenberg, but he says the podcasters completely dismissed all criticism of Gutenberg. They just mocked the users, said, ha-ha, installed it 5 minutes, ate it, and these reviews are not indicative of which he says garbled, which again, I apologize for. He says the one-star reviews never get amended. They aren't indicative. Yeah, you have to read them in a mocking tone. They completely dismiss all criticism and the views of people making them. So, John, you know, reading this, you know, it's like the first instinct is, right. But, you know, taking some time to try and listen from their perspective, and, you know, we're joking kinds of people, but the way we kind of cover that, I can completely see their perspective on how it sounded like we dismissed all of the criticism and kind of made fun of people having negative reviews on Gutenberg. But that's not the case. That's not how we truly feel and how we are about Gutenberg.
I agree. Like, it is never my intent to make fun of anyone, pretty much ever, other than, you know, maybe my wife on occasion, because, you know, we've known each other a long time and that's what you do with people that you love sometimes. But otherwise, I don't really know how. I'm like not good at making fun of people, so I don't do it. I agree. I think this is a sensitive topic. These things are fun to talk about in all directions. And so I think on any given week, especially when it comes to Gutenberg stuff, that our listeners are a little bit subjected to our whim and what we read and what we think and what we feel and our own experiences at the time. And so hopefully nobody really feels like we're dismissing them or making fun of them or anything. It's not my intent.
Good rational discussion of audience perception of Gutenberg. And if you look at the reviews, there's a lot of negative reviews. There's even 5-star reviews that are negative. There are people in the tavern comments that are negative, but then there are people on Twitter who are positive.
And we have an hour show, and I already make you go an hour and 20 minutes half the time. And so a lot of the time we can't do a deep dive into all of the individual ins and outs of things. It's a very cursory overview of like the buzz of what we see. And so that's not to be dismissive, but it is to try and draw out the things that we think were significant in the past week. And so sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but it's not meant to attack anybody or be a bad
tone comes for me because I read these reviews and I read all the comments, and you know, I read so many of them, and so many of them come across as, oh my god, the world's gonna end. And so
that's true.
So sometimes I joke around, I say, oh, but you know, it's, these people have legitimate concerns. They, you know, this Gutenberg is going to affect their business, going to affect client sites and all that jazz. It's just, I mean, I'm so deep into the negativity surrounding it that I don't personally believe it's the end of times with Gutenberg. The transition period will be difficult. It's already difficult for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk a little bit more about Gutenberg later on in the show. But so my apologies if I sounded dismissive or things that way, that's not who we are.
Well, and you see a different side of it, just like the folks in the support forum see a different side of it. And everyone that works in a support role at their company sees the side of it where people are frustrated And sometimes that's going to wear on you some days more than others. I think that is a completely natural response to seeing the frontline opinions on software, on things, on using stuff, on Gutenberg or whatever else. So I forgive you, Jeff.
And we talked a little bit about Mythic, which is a starter theme, last week. And Justin Compton, he says, I'm not sure if it was Jeff or John who said it, it was me. But when we were talking about what Mythic is, I mentioned how it sounded like when you were describing it, that it's like a kit, like a theme mm-hmm. kit. And Justin says, he says it's actually a good way of describing themes like Mythic and WP Rig, and you might have to borrow the term for use on the landing page. I'll give you my address, Justin, for royalties.
Did you just work in a compliment to yourself in the follow-up to last week's episode? Yes,
after the first comment, I had to.
That was pretty slick. You did that really smoothly.
All right. And one of the last housekeeping items before we get to today's topics. Last week, we mentioned that Syed Balki had created a WordPress Growth Accelerator Fund where up to 5 companies would be handpicked to receive between 100 and, was it 100 and 500,000, I believe?
I don't remember the number. I'm not sure what the number was.
One is either 1 to 5 or 100 to 500K in funding, and you'd get their advice and all kinds of cool things that Awesome Motive has done over the years. And you had mentioned, and this part was garbled in the podcast, that you had a similar idea that you pitched to Syed.
That's right.
Called the Capital P Fund. Mm-hmm. So go over a little bit about that in case people were not able to understand that. And you have an update for us.
I do. So the pitch, Syed and I sat down at WordCamp Miami. And when I kind of had been thinking about this idea for a while, Syed was one of the first people that I thought of that is a longtime sort of friend and business guru. He's always been real kind to me when it comes to how do you make money with products and services and those kind of things. So he was one of the first people I thought of to pitch the idea of a capital P fund, which is basically a VC-backed fund. VC style fund for successful and influential folks in the WordPress community to act as mentors to other people that are trying to get their ideas off the ground.
Kind of like a WordPress version of Shark Tank, if people are familiar with that show.
Yes, but without the sharkiness.
Right. Yes.
If I can say that.
Without the shark needleness.
Because there are a lot of folks that have leveled up and grown successful organizations, companies, products, those kind of things. And with WordPress being a community about giving back and elevating everybody else's ideas. And I personally believe that, you know, strong leadership really is about kind of giving away your credit and successes and letting other people be successful around you. And so we'll have everyone throw in $5,000, $10,000 into a fund. We have someone who is a fund manager to pair people up with ideas and mentors to do it with very VC fund style, which I have some experience with, but not as much as folks like Syed and others. And so it was to pick his brain to see if he thought it was viable. I know that other people have talked about the enterprise initiatives, and there have been meetings in the past about different versions or focuses for WordPress and other things. And so this is another one of those avenues where we can take something that already works in the world and just apply it very specifically to WordPress products and services. And so we talked about it at WordCamp Miami, and we had a very polite, happy, joyful conversation where he says, "This is a great idea. If you don't do it, I'm going to steal it." And I said, "Oh, I'll do it." And so I bought the domain Capital P Fund and Capital P Dot Fund while we were sitting there together. And so it is one of those things where the idea itself, it means very little if there is no action. And I never took action. And so, like we talked about in last week's episode, seeing Syed put together the fund was not. It wasn't the issue for me. It was that I didn't hear anything from him when he decided to put something together. And so he reached out after the show and said, like, hey, man, I tried getting a hold of you. And so he kind of sent me a screenshot from like a Slack network that I don't think I've ever logged into, or from, you know, like 6 months ago or 8 months ago, where, you know, he tried saying like, hey, did you want to try and roll on this? I never got the notification because I just turn most Slack notifications off unless they're mentioned. So I never heard anything from it. But yeah, he showed me he tried, you know, back in June. And I'm not, it's no hard feelings. There's no drama. There's room in the WordPress community for there to be many types of funds and ways to give back and help others. So the general sentiment of being shocked that this was something that Syed was trying to do for me is over, at least. And, you know, having talked with him,
back to being kumbaya,
it's all good. So it's a great idea. I wish Syed and folks at Awesome Motive, I think they'll be hugely successful. Hopefully it takes off. It's a good way to help elevate everything that everyone else is doing. So it's all good. I'm going to try and press forward with the whole Capital P Fund idea. I just don't know what I'm doing. So I'm going to learn a little bit about how to put the funds together and get them, get all the money where it needs to be and get everybody safe and build a thing out of it. We'll give it a try.
So last week we talked extensively about freedom of speech, private companies, WordPress.com specifically, as they were mentioned, kind of under fire from an article in the New York Times about people posting conspiracy theories and images from Sandy Hook Elementary School, the shooting victims and the conspiracy surrounding that. And I believe at the time we supported Automate, or at least
sure,
because of WordPress.com and sort of their champion of mm-hmm. freedom of speech and democratizing. Well, okay, I don't want to say democratizing publishing because I think that's more the motto of the WordPress open source project. But as far as WordPress.com is concerned, sort of they're all about freedom of speech and what have you. But WordPress.com ended up updating its privacy policy, banning malicious publication of unauthorized identifying images of minors. Mm-hmm. Minors. So if you take a look at the privacy the privacy policy, you'll see the new line added into there, and it says the policy adds, of course, the malicious publication of unauthorized identifying images of minors. So I guess if you're, I guess you could post a conspiracy theory, but if you're using images of victims of something that already happened, then that's a malicious intent and therefore can get your content removed. And then if you try and create a new website on WordPress.com, I believe that is described as circumventing the ban, and you also get that new site removed.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of brought up some more discussions about freedom of speech and things of that nature. I mean, WordPress.com has in the WordPress.com user guidelines, there's a quote that says, WordPress.com strongly believes in freedom of speech. We have a vast audience that's spread across many cultures, countries, and backgrounds of varying values, and our service is designed to let users freely express any ideas and opinions without us censoring or endorsing them, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
But and then they should add, you know, they should add something at the end, as long as it's within our terms of service.
Well, right. So that's the thing we talked about.
I mean, here's the deal. I mean, you have freedoms, but once you enter the corporate world, once you have a job, but the freedom of speech is not, I'm trying to think of a way to say it. It kind of just disappeared. You can't use it as a argument for something that you've done or said something wrong,
right,
within a private company, a private environment, which WordPress.com is.
It's just a tricky, tricky subject to try and verbalize. And that's where I think we settled on last week, is that this there is a void in popular culture and society with what we should call this type of behavior because we can identify that it is unhealthy and not desirable. And yet there are many people who cannot identify that this is unhealthy and undesirable. And in the ways where we now know that smoking is unhealthy, there was a brief period of time where you smoked cigarettes at the doctor's office and on an airplane. And we may eventually identify that caffeine is unhealthy and causes brain tumors. But for right now, it's delicious. No. So, right? I don't know. So I don't mean to minimize the idea. All I'm saying is that this is a complex, tricky thing to try and talk about in 5 minutes, let alone an hour. And right. I'm happy to see that I think the folks over at WordPress.com did what I think is the right thing, but not to be critical. But the way that they did it is very specifically targeted at the one thing that
brought up in the article.
Yes, and it doesn't really address the nameless, terrible, toxic thing that is the cause of this. And so if we're going to play whack-a-mole with individual circumstances to try and where does it, and it doesn't, and I don't know that the goal should be to come up with an end. The goal should be to come up with words and verbiage that are agreeable, that give them the right to support healthy discourse and communication in a way that people that choose to distribute this type of kind of gross material know what they're up against and can put that type of material or content in a place where it is intentionally allowed, instead of them trying to put it in a place where it's not really wanted. I don't know.
This event also created a side discussion that I think was also interesting. I mean, we know that there is brand confusion between WordPress.com and WordPress.org. It happens. In fact, TechCrunch just recently wrote an article, and once again, an author wrote, "We're automatic, the parent company or the makers of WordPress," which drives me nuts. But so there's a side discussion that because of what happened here, and it's a WordPress.com issue, but yet in the media and elsewhere, there's some people that were concerned that this sort of taints the image or makes the WordPress.org self-hosted open source project, which, you know, has nothing to do with this, because there are no walls. You know, you could do whatever you want. You could host whatever content you want. And, you know, it's up to the host to decide whether to shut you down or not. Some people were concerned that, you know, and this could be probably might end up happening more in the future, is that WordPress.com's problems now became the open source project's problems through name.
Yep. So here's my prediction. I think we've talked about it on the show before, but I'll commit to making this prediction as like a 10-year WordPress plan. My prediction, and maybe today, my hope is that as Automattic pumps more resources into Jetpack and building services and products for everybody, that WordPress.com and WordPress.org actually get closer together than farther apart. Because I think the division is really dangerous, because we keep trying to force a division that the rest of the world shouldn't have to understand. They don't care if it's .com or .org. All they see is WordPress. And so by WordPress.com becoming more of a corporate entity and a representative accidentally being lumped in as a representative to the rest of the open source platform is not helping anyone. And so having WordPress.com just be the place to get a free WordPress site and having it be a regular free WordPress site would be a better setup for everyone than to keep introducing more boundaries, rules, regulations, terms of service, those kind of things. Like, hopefully, if Jetpack is successful and Automattic as a company can stay successful and build services into it and around it, hopefully that is the direction that we end up, because the other side of that spectrum is that WordPress.com becomes more of a polarizing experience and less of what the rest represents the rest of the WordPress.org contributing folks. And then we'll just have more and more and more of this tension, which I don't really think helps us ever. I don't think it ever has. It was healthier and friendlier and worked better and was less confusing in originally when WordPress.com was just a place where you signed up for a free WordPress site to try WordPress out. Now you can do that anywhere, and you may or may not do that with Jetpack. And so hopefully this swings back around where WordPress.com just becomes a nice place to get a WordPress site again, and not a place that it has its own set of rules and regulations like we have now. That's my prediction.
Well, it's saved on the show.
So all right. We'll logged forever. Logged forever.
So the WordPress for iOS app, we haven't talked about this in a while. At least I haven't.
Right.
It recently came out with a new version, 10.6. And over the past few months, actually, the WordPress for iOS app has gone through a couple of updates. There's been some increased compatibility with Gutenberg, which earlier this year was a hot mess. It didn't really work too well. When you edited a post in the WordPress mobile app and then you checked it out in Gutenberg, it was a disaster. I think some of that has been addressed with more compatibility in the pipeline. But about a month ago, in 10.4, an activity log was added, and this allows users to see a detailed list of activities on their site. So if you're familiar with like the Stream plugin, I believe it's still out there by XWP, I believe. So there's a little activity log, and this activity log is detailed. So you can see events such as comments waiting approval, who approved the comment, a post draft that's been modified. And then if you tap on one of the detailed activities, you get to see things in more detail, like username, IP address, their role, things of that nature. And in the app, I was able to say, I think it was the last 10 or 20 activities. Now, the thing about this for me is that with all the hubbub of privacy and GDPR earlier this year, the only way really you know that about this activity log, what's going on in the iOS app lately, is the little change log in the Apple iTunes store. There's something like the activity log, I think, would warrant a blog post about how it works, what's logged, where you can get more information. But I wasn't able to find any of that. And then somebody from the mobile team pointed me to a document, a support document, that's on the jetpack.com support website about the activity log. And this document links to a list of activities along with their retention periods, which vary based on the plan that you have on WordPress.com. And they say that the article says that only the most recent 1,000 events are displayed in the log. Once the retention period ends for the activity data, it's no longer you can no longer see it within the log, but it actually moves to a long-term storage area where it's retained indefinitely. And according to the document, there was no way to deactivate this feature. So I read all that, and I'm like, whoa, oh, that's something. And so there you have it. In the latest version of WordPress for iOS, you get to see an activity log, and you can't turn it off, and it logs quite a bit of detailed activities that are happening on the site.
So I haven't done any follow-up, and there are a number of plugins that that work this way. Like you mentioned, Stream, I think, from XWP and some others that did this. I mean, I don't usually like to talk about my own plugins on the show, but I made one for because I didn't really like any of the others.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, apparently 700 plus people agree that mine is okay enough to use. But I knew for a brief period of time that some folks on the VIP team were recommending and using my version because it used custom post types and taxonomies and terms and meta and had some garbage collection and some things in it that made it a better option for some of the folks that they were using. And so now I want to take a peek at what they've built in here to see where they got some inspiration from. I doubt that it was mine, but it would be interesting.
Oh, look at you. Boy, wouldn't that be a boon to your ego if you saw?
Oh, wouldn't that be cute? No. I mean, I spent a lot of time writing this stupid little plugin because I really wasn't a huge fan of how some of the other ones worked or did things. And so hopefully their version of this, their reimagining of it, they solved hopefully some of the same problems that I had with it. Internationalization of logs, things like that, that are just hard to store. So I think it's a good idea. The fact that this doesn't exist, that there is no audit trail in WordPress, is a little surprising, I think, probably to most people. Most other CMSs, most server software has some version of an audit log or an activity log. And the fact that there is nothing to show you login attempts or edits or comment submission, those kind of things, is kind of a missing link. So I like seeing it.
I remember when we talked about Stream, I believe I had them on the show. If not, it was a detailed article when they completely revamped the plugin. Mm-hmm. They mentioned about how data intensive it was and logging, yeah, and the database structure. Mm-hmm. In fact, I believe they revamped it so that logging and the activity logs were not stored on the actual web server anymore. It was stored on their end.
They did that.
And,
yep,
and so Jetpack is doing the same thing where they're managing and they're doing all that things using the WordPress.com automatic infrastructure. It's not only for WordPress.com sites, but it's for Jetpack-enabled sites as well. And one of the first questions people brought up, well, is this GDPR compliant? And Heather Burns left a comment on the article on WP Tavern. You can read it in full, but I'll read the beginning of her comment where she says, quote, not only is it GDPR compliant, but utilities and plugins like this can help site administrators to meet the expected standard for taking reasonable technical and human security measures against data breaches and security concerns. In the event of a system event or a regulatory query, documented evidence that you monitor what is happening on your own systems will greatly support your case.
That's right.
And she goes on to explain a little bit more in detail. So we do not have to worry about GDPR fears with the activity log. But I don't know. It's kind of nice. You log in. I'm like, oh, Sarah, I see that you're not in the activity log. What are you doing?
That is I think it is more likely that Sarah had that conversation at you.
I have no comment. Let's move on. So, Oakley Capital, this is huge news. This came out the other day. Oakley Capital to acquire cPanel. cPanel, the makers of control panel software used by many hosting providers across the globe, announced that it reached an agreement with Oakley Capital, which is a private equity investor, primarily it invests in companies that are primarily located in Western Europe. Now, financial details of the acquisition were not disclosed, as is usually the case. But the one interesting thing, or at least one interesting thing about this whole deal, is that Oakley Capital is the same investment firm that acquired Plesk in May of 2017. And for those who don't know, Plesk is also control panel software used to manage sites. Mm. And, you know, if you, I'd be willing to bet if you asked, you know, 100 people on the street, what control panel software they use, I think a majority would say cPanel, but I think it'd be a mix of cPanel and Plesk. And then at the other end of the spectrum is other, where a lot of what some web hosting companies would try and roll their own.
That's right.
But cPanel, I found out, is based in Houston, Texas, Matt Mulloway's hometown. And they have more than 220 employees, and what the employees will actually stay with the company. The headquarters will stay there. In fact, the headcount, the number of employees, is expected to rise because of this investment. And Nick Costin, who is cPanel CEO, he will remain the company's CEO. And cPanel will actually continue to run as a separate entity. Now, the acquisition needs to pass governmental review before it is finalized. But now Oakley Capital owns both Plesk and cPanel.
It's a smart purchase because cPanel is pretty dope. I mean, I know that everyone likes to hate on it, but it is a super powerful piece of software that you would never want to write on your own.
I didn't realize it was founded and started in the late 90s. It's 22 years old.
Yeah, and it is continuously maintained. It is, if you think of it like a WordPress precursor for much more complex server side control than what WordPress does. It is an insanely powerful tool that exposes a ton of otherwise kind of difficult to pull off things and makes it really simple. So The nice thing, and to it, like Nick's quote is on the tavern, that this investment will is a great step forward for cPanel. Team has developed software that contributes to the success of millions of websites operating globally, and looks forward to continue to do so with the same passion that you, our loyal customers, have come to love. And so it's the same thing with Studio Press and WP Engine, right? Like, it's refreshing to see people recognize the potential and the investment that other people have done into a project like this, and to carry it forward for years to come. So it's a great thing. I'm excited to see what comes next with cPanel.
And I'm currently in talks with somebody to try and get a higher up rep from cPanel on the show, because I think it'd be cool to look back, talk about the history of the web, what's changed, the history of the control panel, and talk a little bit about the future of things.
That would be super fun.
So Drupal.org, they have migrated their developer tools to GitLab. So the Drupal Association announced this week that Drupal.org will be migrating its developer tools to GitLab. I guess back in December 2017, they evaluated the advantages and disadvantages of GitHub, GitLab, and Bitbucket. And it looked like they were going to go forward with Bitbucket, but they didn't. And the Drupal community, apparently from the discussion, was not happy about the move to GitLab. But Drupal reached out to GitLab. GitLab worked with them privately to get their blockers fixed and out of the way. And they also provided financial support for the migration. And they've also made a commitment to ongoing support for the Drupal project. Now, the team plans to migrate about 45,000 projects to GitLab over the coming months. And we know that Matt Mulloway is actually on the board of directors, I believe, for GitLab after they received a Series C rounding of funding, $20 million, in fact, last October. Mm-hmm. And there was talk then. We asked Matt if, now that you are at this stage with GitLab, will WordPress core development move on over? And at the time, Mulloway says it's something that's on their minds, but, quote, WordPress is still tracking some version, so I think it's not our top priority this year, but in the future, it's definitely on the radar, end quote. So I look at a move like this from Drupal, and I tweeted this out earlier today. You know, in the past couple of years, Drupal, and this has been this way for a long time, but Drupal has, like, appeased and really focused on its developers, the people who develop and build things on it. So, I mean, GraphQL, REST API, nodes, projects, how you handle data within the CMS, and now this, moving over to a more social way of contributing and building the project. And I was thinking, you know, I wonder when, and WordPress is like the opposite. It's all been about the users. And we see in the market share numbers, so far, WordPress has won that side of the equation. But, you know, I was wondering, with all this focus on the developers, if at some point, when or if this focus on the developer for Drupal would allow them to experience like a sharp uptick in market share. And I, Steve from OS Training sent me a link to stats that Drupal has, and the user stats have sharply declined, have been about flat for the past year or two, and boy, you know, I don't know. It's kind of interesting to think about how they have all these cool developer toys, and it's the same toys that developers in WordPress land scream about WordPress not having. That it's this monolithic old PHP based thing that doesn't do object oriented programming that well. But yet we have all kinds of users, and we got the user experience, and that seems to have helped the project out a lot. I don't know. What's your take on that?
It's you know, I've say it in the office a lot. It is, there's a, one of the Unix philosophies is to make it popular first and to make it good second, and that's really what WordPress did. WordPress wasn't real good, but Matt and others in the early
good enough
days,
at the time.
It was good enough, and they had the right conversations with the right people to make WordPress popular. And the rest of us through the years have done our best to try and make it good. So I think these are, we see this happen all the time with Windows or Mac OS. You see it with with cars or any kind of anything, is there's always some version of it that's for one audience and one version of something that's for another audience. And so if Drupal, when Drupal decides to hunker down on user-friendly things, WordPress will probably start focusing on developer type things, because that is just the way that these kind of projects in our minds kind of work. And so these things are cyclical. They will go ebb and flow. And for what it's worth, I think that when we made the shift to focus on developer features in BuddyPress, we kind of saw the same stagnancy, the same sort of lack of growth that that Drupal has seen, is that the developer-friendly features aren't the things that attract more users. They just simply aren't.
Users outnumber developers by a long shot.
A long shot. And that's where Apple did a great job making iCloud a thing that is not only just kind of like user-friendly, but like kind of user captivating, where you want to see how it works and be in the ecosystem, because it is all beautified in a way. It's the same stuff under the hood. It's the same email and the same notes and the same calendar protocols that have been there forever. They've just beautified it in a way that other folks haven't been able to. And so a coat of paint on a BuddyPress theme or on a Drupal admin install something to make it a better experience and a little bit prettier will go a long way once that attention goes there. But for now, everyone's focusing on the... And so to get back on topic...
Once Drupal merges Gutenberg into their editor, that's it. They're going to get all the market share.
That is probably not 100% true, but it will help them for sure. It totally will help them.
They are looking at different editors, but Gutenberg is one of them.
WordPress is going to use GitLab eventually. It's going to have to. It fits with all of the things that most WordPress contributors or the WordPress ethos of owning your data, using open source software, not putting it in somebody else's sort of controlled ecosystem. That's why WordPress.org, it runs the Subversion repositories that it does, is because the kind of the core belief structure is that you should own your own content. And so owning WordPress and the community owning its own content is one of those core values that hosting it all and working from GitHub is not really the way that WordPress is made. And so the next logical direction is to use GitLab. And in the ways that Automattic likes to, and Matt likes to, and the company that WordPress.com, it gets to be the test bed for the earning the lumps or doing it first to kind of figure out the best way to introduce these kind of things to the open source project. It wouldn't surprise me if they've already moved to GitLab, or I think they were using Fabricator for a while, but move to GitLab, move VIP.
Well, there's a lot of projects on GitHub.
Yeah, there are a ton of projects on GitHub, because that's where the exposure and the traction and all the socializing happens, like on Twitter. But when that isn't always where the work happens. The work happens someplace else, and it doesn't have to get pushed to GitHub. It can get mirrored or pushed to GitLab in the exact same way. The only thing that matters is your community willing to leave one platform like Track for another platform like GitLab, and sunset all of that archive all of that history and start almost relatively fresh. I don't know if there is a Track to GitLab conversion tool. And I forget if did Drupal use Bugzilla? What did they have Track? I forget what they used for their...
I'm not sure.
A variety of tools, I know for sure, but... When WordPress decides to make a similar move, it's 60,000 plugins and tens of thousands of themes. And
it's not a simple move.
It's not a simple move either. And so there's a lot that we can hopefully learn from Drupal trying making this move, because they had a bunch more tools built on top of their stack that we are in the process, or WordPress as a community is it, especially with Gutenberg and the build process there, we're going to need to implement. So this is there's a lot to learn from them.
Gutenberg, you said the magic segue term. Let's talk a little bit about Classic Press. So Scott Bowler has been developing websites for about 18 years. I know in his first introduction into WordPress was he describes it as sheer delight. But the notion of merging Gutenberg and WordPress 5.0 he's so concerned about it. He believes that it would be so detrimental to the project that he has forked WordPress into a new project and has called it Classic Press. And he says, quote, "The team at WordPress have decided to force Gutenberg into version 5 of WordPress despite massive pushback by the WordPress community," where he links to the Gutenberg reviews. And he says that he is in the pushback camp, and after his feedback on Gutenberg fell on deaf ears, he realized that WordPress is no longer a community-led project. Major decisions are being made by an elite few. Sadly, I decided it was time to move to a fork that doesn't have Gutenberg as part of the core code. A quick search revealed nobody had taken the initiative, which is the one that everybody wants a fork, but nobody actually does it. He says he decided to stop complaining and take action, end quote. He also filed a petition on change.org requesting that Gutenberg not be merged into WordPress. And when I published the article, there was 10 out of 100 signatures. And now there's 176. Oh, I just saw it change, 177. So congrats to the notoriety of the tavern. You know, that's probably a direct result of us publishing the article. But so there's also some discussion that's happened. I know the petition was to keep Gutenberg out of core and to keep Gutenberg as a plugin for users to install. And he says that Gutenberg should not be integrated into the core until the community agrees that the time is right. So he's not, and that's a distinction, that he's not completely against Gutenberg. He just does not want it merged into WordPress 5.0 as it is today. He's basically requesting that it stays as a plugin to give it some time to bake and to get through some improvements, to where users actually desire Gutenberg. And Matt Cromwell, Learn with Matic, he's the head of support and outreach for WordPress. He actually published some thoughts on Twitter. He says that the more he thinks about Gutenberg as inevitable in WordPress core, the more he's concerned that core releases don't come often enough to support the kind of iterative improvements Gutenberg will need over the long term. It says shipping Gutenberg as a default plugin like Akismet makes a lot of sense for several reasons. It allows for more iterative improvements, allows for quicker development, and gives users more freedom of choice. So if Gutenberg does ship with WordPress 5.0, Bowler says that he is committed to maintaining compatibility with the WordPress ecosystem, keeping the project up to date with security fixes, and letting the community dictate its development. And of course, Classic Press is based on WordPress 4.9.8, which is completely free of Gutenberg. It's not actually available yet to the public. Bowler says it's in the consultation phase. He has a subreddit, a Classic Press subreddit, where discussion is taking place. And this sort of ending the article, given my thoughts on it, where I, forks, your presentation from 2016 on forking WordPress changed my mind. For the longest time, I thought forks, when somebody brought up forks, it was like the nuclear option. Well, I don't like what you're doing, so I'm going to fork it. Or everybody talks about, Matt made a decision, well, everybody should just fork WordPress. And everybody talks about forking it, but nobody really ever does it, because there's so much to maintain. There's so much workload you're taking on by forking a project like WordPress. But I didn't think this particular fork made any sense. I mean, it's not really so much of a fork as it is Bowler's last ditch effort to raise awareness of not merging Gutenberg into core. And to me, I think that's an unfortunate reason to fork WordPress. Whether it's legitimate or not, the fact that it gets to a point for some people where they feel like they're not being heard, and that you're going a certain direction I guess I kind of get it. If you've exhausted all other options, which some people feel they have done with Gutenberg, then you fork WordPress and say, all right, well, I'm just going to do a WordPress without Gutenberg. So there. Mm-hmm. But if you don't merge Gutenberg into WordPress, then okay, no fork. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, there are options available to not use or at least delay Gutenberg. You have the classic editor plugin. You've got Ramp. You could ease people into it. And even the classic editor plugin allows you on a per post basis, you could select whether you want to create a new post in the classic editor or the Gutenberg editor. It's not an all in one thing. So I don't know. I don't see, you know, to be honest, I don't see classic press really going very far, but who knows? I mean, there is a lot of distent for Gutenberg right now. I can't believe over 100 people signed that petition. Holy moly. But
that's funny. The comment that somebody made that the classic editor plugin has, what, upwards of 100,000, 200,000 active installs?
Yes.
It's not a good sign.
And Matt Mulloway actually commented on the article as well.
That's right.
He says, there are no plans to ever have direct vote determine strategic direction in WordPress, but we are having a bit of a referendum in the adoption of the Gutenberg and classic editor plugins. People are voting with their usage. The people are deciding, end quote. And that was from Matt Mulloway. And of course, people jumped all over him. Well, classic plugin has 200,000 active installs. I guess that means no Gutenberg. Well, nope, that's not exactly what that means.
That the idea of classic press, I think, is good. And in the ways that I also think forks are a good thing, but I agree that this one kind of doesn't make sense, but maybe for a different reason, in that when critical fixes are going to get backported to the 4.9 branch anyways. So security fixes, those kind of things. And so if his intention is to backport every other feature but Gutenberg to classic press, he's going to have a bad time.
Okay.
There is an audience, but he's going to have a bad time. It's a lot. It's too much work for one person to take all of that feature dev minus Gutenberg and merge that in. It's just unsustainable. And so in the ways that, like, if I'm going to maintain a fork of WordPress, which I do, I'm going to not preach it to the world. I'm going to maintain it for the reasons that I feel like I need to maintain it for. And if someone finds it and stumbles into it and uses it for whatever thing that they think it's valuable for, then great. And if they don't, that is also okay. I think making a subreddit, making the Twitter account, doing everything but the code makes this appear like it is, like what you've said, is that it is more marketing to raise awareness for the lack of Gutenberg than it is to complete the task of creating a fork to maintain the future Gutenbergless version of WordPress. It's doing all the hype without doing any of the work doesn't feel like the right approach. Considering, especially culturally, that most WordPress folks like to share what we're working on, put it on GitHub. It's unfinished. It's a little bit raw, but this is what I'm working with, and share that with others. And so I get that going straight to code is not everybody else's priority all the time. Sometimes it's easier to put the idea out there and see what bubbles up. But this is sometimes you're going to get this response, I think, from the core WordPress audience, the maybe it would have been more well received if it was on GitHub with a like, hey, I'm going this direction. Who's with me? I don't know. But all that other stuff maybe is the cart before the horse, and that's why the response is not hugely positive. Hard to say. There will be more forks of WordPress with and without Gutenberg. I'm a little shocked someone doesn't have a fork of WordPress right now with Gutenberg already in it. How is there not a version of WordPress that has Gutenberg deeply integrated into it without a plugin, without the drop down to pick the old editor or the new editor, without demo and presentation links. I don't want any of that. I want, give me the hotness right now with it already merged in. Show me what it's got and then let me build for that coming in 6 months. Because the fact that Gutenberg is moving in all of its directions, and even if I wanted to show it to somebody, it comes with a Gutenberg top level admin menu and a demo link and a presentation link, and you have to pick between one or the other. You're one foot in the door. I want to jump in. Give me a version that's got.
I know what you want. You want Backpress with Gutenberg.
That is what I want. See, that is exactly what I want.
I knew it. I knew that you would want. So
that is right.
So we'll have to see what happens. I published my updated user experience post of Gutenberg a few days ago. I mean, here we are. We're ending the month of August, and we're supposed to be knee deep in the timeline that Matt sort of laid forth at WordCamp EU. And based on what I see and how I've used Gutenberg, the features for me, most of the functionality is there, but there is so much work, I believe, that needs to be done to fix all the nuances and the gotchas that exist in Gutenberg, whether and the discoverability of how to do certain things, like converting blocks, block labels, moving blocks, the little plus icon. Why does it disappear? Why is it always there? Why is there one up here? Why is there down here? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about it, and sometimes when I use Gutenberg, and I believe I already use this, but sometimes it's like going into the kitchen, opening up the junk drawer and trying to find something, you know, whether that's a block or whether that's an option. And I actually shared this with Michelle Schulp. She's been actually describing what her experience is like building a client site with Gutenberg. She says sometimes you don't even know which drawer to go that's into right. to find something. So I think Gutenberg, the functionality, I think is there for the most part, but it needs an extended round of user experience testing, fixing the flows, and trying to remove as many gotchas as possible so that people can get to writing, they can create a block. Everything becomes this more seamless experience versus stop, do this, stop, do that, stop. Where is everything? And you have to click this ellipsis and click that ellipsis. You got to move your icon over here to see the menu that shows up that you didn't know was there until you move the icon there, your cursor
so
there.
So I'll go on the other side of the spectrum with an opinion that says we should merge Gutenberg today.
Because oh yeah.
We should merge it today because I don't think that we will iron out all of those issues until it's in core for everyone else to see.
Okay.
There's comments, menus, customizer. There's a lot of examples of things that took inspiration from other things, and everyone thought they were pretty good in the beginning. And then by the time that you were merged in and done, it was a completely different thing. And so expecting for the folks that are working on Gutenberg to get this right the first time as a plugin is an unrealistic expectation. And all of that.
Essentially, you want Gutenberg to take the customizer route.
Yeah.
So many people disliked and hated the customizer. And then you gave it 2 or 3 years, and now
Gutenberg should get merged in right now so that someone can pull trunk and see what it's like. And then we file bug reports on track. We iterate on it. We work on it. We fix it in track or in wherever someone prefers it to be. GitHub track, I don't care. But it's now everyone pulls it, sees how it is, sees how it fits, sees how it works. And we go, okay, now that this has landed in here, how do we want it to be? How do we want it to fit and work? What are we really truly missing now that it's here? Because to be honest, there's a lot of attention and a lot of effort going into it in one place in a version of it that without it being in WordPress,
it's sort of like a silo.
It is totally siloed. It is, you're trying to decide what well, I don't know. There's a metaphor in there. You're trying to decide what to put in your semi truck trailer before you realize what kind of semi truck you even have. I don't know. Like, it just seems like we really aren't sure exactly truly what this is going to look and feel like when it is 100% integrated deeply into WordPress core itself. That half measure, that only being a little bit in, means we're not 100% committed to making it fit right. And I think you'll get a different audience of people that will come in the final 3 months or 4 months to save the day a little bit. Like, they'll come in and go, okay, now that this is here, now it's worth my time. Now I can focus on this because there's too much activity over there, and this is where other people shine and are more comfortable working on stuff. So I say
which by the way, you say that now that it's in core, now I can work on this. I mean, that was one of the main reasons why it wasn't feature complete. It didn't have WP admin parity, but that was one of the reasons why the decision was made to put the REST API, its endpoints, put it into core as is, because apparently there's a lot of developers out there who would not build on top of the WordPress REST API unless it was part of core.
Mm-hmm. And there's evidence that people can say that the REST API being in core wasn't a good decision, or that the there was no bubble of apps that came out of nowhere to the REST API saved the day and made all these apps possible. That hasn't happened yet, but it was the right thing to do, I think. And so I think the REST API still lacks things like auth, and there are things that it's lacking that would make it better, but that's okay. We will get there. Those things will happen. But there are things that won't happen to Gutenberg until it is merged into core.
Look, nothing's going to happen until Gutenberg is done or merged
and that,
done.
And that I think honestly is the reason why we are seeing what we're seeing and maybe feeling what we're feeling, is that Gutenberg is being built differently on purpose, is being built separately by design. And so that alone in and of itself will make people treat it differently and feel differently about it. If it was being worked on the same way that
that's where the perception that it's being built by an elite few comes from.
That's right. But that's always been a WordPress problem. Yes. And to a certain degree, it is also not 100% incorrect. There are lead developers. There are people that have been in the project for a long time. There are committers. There are feature owners. There are people that are making decisions. Whether or not you want to put those people on a pedestal and call them elites or not is up to someone else to decide. There are people that think that I am on a high horse or as part of my local government when there's nothing could be further from the truth, that I really am only there to help make where we live better. But someone is going to probably think that I'm somebody that I don't think that I am. I just want to make
things better. You said merge WordPress or Gutenberg into WordPress today. I think you are high on a horse.
High on a high horse?
Yeah, okay.
The horse is also high. I am high on the horse. Okay, I get it.
Everybody's high.
I'm not. I don't think the horse is. But that's the other end of this is, if we're never going to merge it, then we should merge it right now and see how that goes also. There should be a pre-release fork of WordPress. There should be 5.0 Alpha 1 today with Gutenberg as is.
So if Gutenberg is merged into WordPress, do you see Matt going back to a iterate quickly design release philosophy instead of these core focuses where we get 1, 2, whatever, whenever it gets done, releases a year? Not, I mean, it seems like, and this is the argument that or the suggestion that Matt was saying and even Bowler was saying, that once it gets into core, we're going to start having point releases one every week to do rapid improvements on Gutenberg and core. We're going to have core releases.
Kind of. And that's just that is a consequence of WordPress being the blob of software that it is and not being broken up into parts, is that with all of the components, whenever there's a bug or a thing that comes through that's critical or a critical improvement, then there will be many little point releases. And to be fair, that is why auto updates is important, so that burden is brought back into the software itself and not onto its users. And so being able to iterate quickly and have WordPress fix itself means this, it's not even that inconvenient for it to work or be that way. And as WordPress gets bigger and as more contributors start to feel more comfortable taking ownership with pieces, a multi-site team, accessibility team, all of the marketing team, all of the individual teams that there are that are comfortable building features out, fixing things in point releases, one multi-site bug could trigger some point release where nothing else needs to go out. But if that bug is bad enough, then it requires a point release. And so there will probably be more of those that will happen, not just because of
Gutenberg. WordPress 5.0.99.
It won't matter. There's 5.0.2005, it won't matter. And it shouldn't matter because WordPress will just keep itself up to date. And no one will need to worry about it.
Yeah, release versions. I've read that over the years. Let's get to a point where version numbers don't matter anymore. It's Chrome, Firefox. You just fire up WordPress. Everything is updated. Boom. Whatever was broke is now fixed, and you go about your day.
I'll tell you, my iCloud drive has been broken for weeks now, and no improvements to iCloud have helped me do anything. It is fatally foobard. It will not work anymore. It is just broken. So, you know, at least we don't have that particular problem yet. And even with millions of dollars and tens of thousands of employees and insane amounts of engineering talent, Apple cannot figure out how to make iCloud Drive not suck. So I think we're doing pretty okay with Gutenberg and WordPress releases as is, but I think it should get merged sooner than later.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you'd like to submit feedback based on that, you can send us
my one-star review.
You can comment on the show notes. I would love to read some of your comments regarding John's philosophy here.
Sure, let's compliment Jeff more, and let's give me one-star reviews for being a Gutenberg moron.
See, yeah, M comes right after, so it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Never mind. Who cares? All right. So about an hour into the show. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we wrap it up? Let's just wrap it up.
There was one thing that how long are we on the show right now? Are we at an hour? Because I have one thing that I could add to the show that we could talk about.
We're in an hour and 4 minutes, so go ahead.
Okay. So there was a tweet. I feel like I should find it. That went out. And since we talked about controversial stuff last week and the show got all butchered, I feel like we should make up for that and talk about controversial stuff again. You want to do that? Are you comfortable with that?
All right.
So there was a tweet that I happen to have retweeted and believe that I agree with.
Is this WordPress related?
It is somewhat WordPress. It's BBPress related at least, but it's WordPress related in an interesting way about terminology that like whitelist or blacklist or master slave.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
And so one of the folks from Basecamp retweeted it and had some conversation about it. And that's something that that I've talked about, I don't, maybe not on the show, but in talks, and that I think that it is something that should change. And so in BBPress, in WordPress specifically, in the comments and your discussion settings, there is a blacklist for comments that you can add email addresses to, names, words. It's kind of a fuzzy sort of match. So it explains how it works. And so we implemented that with BBPress. BBPress uses the same text area for its blacklist or its deny list of words. But the tweet was basically saying it's time to get rid of those words and to not use whitelist and blacklist, but instead use allow list and deny list or something else. And so when Carrie and I were looking at homes and deciding whether or not we were going to sell ours or if we were going to build one or what we were all lucky to. Hi, Carrie. One of the things that I noticed is that builders in new homes are moving away from calling it the master bedroom and the master bathroom and are referring to them as an owner's suite, which I think is a better deal. That is a very smart direction and thing to name it. And even when I was like setting up HomeKit or trying to figure out like what to call the master bedroom, I really had a hard time finding a way to eliminate that terminology with a word that felt appropriate. And so for BB Press, I just bubbled it all up into the moderation tools, and we just have strict moderation or regular moderation. And so strict moderation will take those deny list of words and it will just prevent them from ever happening. And then your passive moderation does what the other moderation box does and just throws it into pending. And so the WordPress stores this option as blacklist keys, and the function is all blacklist. And so there are some mentions to that in WordPress core. In Basecamp, they set up an issue on GitHub to say like it's actually there aren't a lot of references to that in their code base, and that it's mostly documentation. But I wanted to get your thoughts on it or talk about it on the show, because I think it's an important thing to get rid of and eliminate. Those words are not, they're not healthy. They're tied to a darker place in time and history that is like not something that I think we should be passing around as sort of passively and blasé about it as we do. And so I felt the one place that we could do this easily enough was in BB Press, because there's enough abstraction there where we can rename it, provide some backwards compatibility, eliminate all the references and make it so. And we could probably do it in Buddy Press too, but in WordPress, it'll be a little bit harder to do, but I wanted to get your thoughts on
it. Seems like an easy win. I mean, those words, I understand what they mean, but you know, if we rename them and they still at a glance provide an indication as to what you're doing or what features they represent, then I'm all for it. Why not? It seems like it could be an easy win.
Yep.
I mean that's like Mr. WordPress. WordPress got rid of that and it turned into a gender neutral term now for the first comment when you install WordPress. So sounds like we could do something similar in WordPress. Maybe we could lead the way. Mm-hmm. You know, I bet if there hasn't been already, maybe I could start a track ticket or something. Who knows?
Start a track ticket. That was like one of the things that WordPress kind of did in the early days that BB Press did too. Was like, have semantic markup and do the right thing in the right way to kind of show that you are paying a little bit extra attention, being more inclusive and sensitive to all these issues. And so I don't know, it would be interesting to see if there's a way for a WordPress core to address the verbiage in there.
Verbiage. What a word, verbiage.
Verbiage. If you say it too many times.
You know the Big Bang Theory is going to be ending after 12 seasons?
Oh,
how about that? It took me a while to get into that show, but once I did, you know, Sheldon is still super annoying to me, but
you know,
all right, I should end the show because we're talking about TV now. You can find show notes episode and all other episodes on wptavern.com. Follow me on Twitter at Jeff for JEFFR0. And John, how about you, sir?
Twitter and GitHub at JJJ and JJJ.blog.
Excellent. We don't have a guest scheduled for next week, but that could change. I'm looking around at some folks. I'm working on getting Topher DeRosier on the show again. He recently has a new gig over there at BigCommerce, so he wants to come on and tell us a little bit about what that company is all about. And BigCommerce is starting to make waves in the e-commerce space, or at least they have been. I've seen more times of them getting mentioned on Twitter. So it's coming across for me. And then working on some shows here in September. I think we'll have the guys on from WP Shout as well, I think in early September. And then somewhere in there, I'm going to be taking a vacation. And this year I will not fracture my ankle.
That's probably good on
the week of my wedding anniversary.
Are you vacating? Or are you sticking around home?
No, I'm staying home. Staying home. All right, everybody, enjoy. Have a safe rest of the week. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. Say bye, John.
Bye, John. Bye, everybody.